learn. Baha'u'llah doesn't say that. He says no man shall ever attain the ocean of the knowledge of understanding, of the ocean of understanding, the shores of the ocean of understanding, unless he be detached from all that is in heaven and on earth. You see the condition he has put down for it? And detachment, we talked about it this morning, what it means. If you are in love with Baha'u'llah, your heart will become opened, and then anything you want to know is there. Believe me, I've seen the early believers who were illiterates, and this is the history of our faith, and their understanding of the faith was so deep, it gushes out of their heart. You have seen two types of learned people, if you like to call it. One who had knowledge, oh yes, great learned men, and they come along and give talks to you and discuss a lot of things and theories and all sorts of ideas and books and writers and everything you like. And then there is a man who may be illiterate, who has got this great understanding of the faith. Now, the other man may not have understood the faith. He has the knowledge of the faith, but he have not necessarily understood the faith. And this is why some of them leave the faith after becoming scholars. We have had so many scholars who have left the faith because he doesn't understand the faith. To understand the faith, we have to really go closer to Baha'u'llah. To the extent that you go nearer to him and closer to him, and this means you will become detached, then your heart becomes the dawning place of the knowledge of God. Somebody came to me a few years ago and he said that I have been a Baha'i for 10 years and I have read many things. I have accepted everything Baha'u'llah has said, but he said one thing I cannot accept, and he told me one of the writings of Baha'u'llah. He said I can never accept that, and he said I've asked many people to explain to me the wisdom of this, but nobody has been able to explain it to me. Can you tell me what is the wisdom of this? Because he said I can never accept that. Well, here it is now, a problem. I said to him, have you ever thought you might be wrong? He said, no, really not. Now, you know, we have to be humble here. If you want to approach the cause, the revelation of God, you have to be humble. And I said, well, not until you are ready to accept that you may be wrong. And I said, now, of course, you believe in this. You can't say you are wrong, but at least you must be prepared to say that you are wrong. You may be wrong. You cannot understand this. You will never understand this. This, you are a believer, you believe in Baha'u'llah, there is no question about it. You know he's a manifestation of God, and you know that man makes a mistake. Well, the only thing to do is to submit and say, I don't understand this. I may be wrong. I am wrong. I accept. Without recognizing it, without knowing it, you accept it. And do you know what happens? Once you accept it and you submit yourself, then one day, it may be tomorrow, it may be the next month, it may be the 10 years from now, suddenly it will flush into your mind and into your heart the wisdom of that thing. And nobody can explain it to you, but it will come to you when you read the writings. Suddenly it will penetrate into your heart like an electric bolt. And then you know the wisdom of it. But not until you submit. As long as you say, oh no, I don't accept that, it will never come. So you see, friends, studying and deepening in the faith is a spiritual experience. We have to aim for that so that our hearts become the repository of the knowledge of God. And so, as I said, I have seen many people who were illiterates, who did not have or did not have much of a knowledge. But who had such an understanding of the faith. Every time you ask them a question, even if they had never heard of that question, never heard of it in the writings, never knew what the answer was, the answer would come, and when you look into the writings, you could see this is exactly what Baha'u'llah or Abdul Baha have said. And this is a true deepening. And I feel we should aim for this more and more, all of us. Do not become do not feel inferior to all these people who come to you. And I'm not in any way trying to value the value of people who are learned or who have knowledge. But don't be frightened of them. Really. You have Baha'u'llah and he will come and teach you a lot of things that these people themselves don't know it. You may come across people who go to universities years after years, and I'm not in any way saying it's bad to go to universities, but they come and they talk to you about the faith and you might be feeling inferior. Don't feel inferior. The faith is for all of us. Baha'u'llah is for everybody, the humblest person. And it is you who can know much more than he does. But of course, how wonderful it would be if knowledge and understanding are together. Oh, this is beautiful now. And this is the perfect, this is like the chandeliers, which is perfect in itself, crystal, lovely, beautiful, exquisite lamp, but it is also lighted, you see? A person who has knowledge and understanding, has ilm and irfan, means knowledge and understanding, this is perfect. It's like Mirza Abul Fazl, the great Baha'i scholar we have. He had both knowledge and understanding. And this is, of course, the aim. We must learn knowledge, we must acquire knowledge, but we must also turn to Baha'u'llah so that in humility, so that he may give us this gift of understanding. Well, now that we have talked about this, let me now enter into another subject. I hope I'm not making you tired, huh? Soon we will have a break, don't worry. Whenever the chairman walks down the steps, we know the time has come. I think that the other thing I wanted to bring up the subject is, you remember we said there are two major work we have to do. One is that of teaching the cause, which is the most important thing which we have been talking about up to now. The other thing is the building of the institutions of the faith. The institutions of the faith, which we are building now, the local assemblies and the national assemblies, these are the instruments for the future of mankind, the institutions for the future of mankind. We may not realize this yet ourselves, because we are so much in the early days of the faith, and these institutions are so weak, that we may not ever think probably that, oh, this local spiritual assembly one day is going to become the house of justice for this town. House of justice, who knows, maybe it will become something like the government of the house, of this town. But whatever it is, hello, oh, beautiful little boy, very nice. These local spiritual assemblies one day become houses of justice for mankind, for the people of this town. And we may not realize this, but at this moment that we are talking about, we are entering into a very critical age, critical time in the history of mankind. A time which we talked about again this morning is filled with perils and with dangers and with sufferings, with tribulations, calamities. And the only thing which mankind will have when the world is really has tasted the agony of this whole calamities which has to come, are these institutions we are building. There is nothing else which will be left, which mankind can really have turned to, which would save it. And even now as we stand here, if it wasn't for the institutions of the faith, for the new life which Baha'u'llah has breathed into the world of man, the world would not be together. The world is keeping together today because of the existence of these institutions. It's because of the house of justice that the world is now exists the way it is and can exist. It's because of our institutions of local and national assemblies that our communities can exist. Really. And it is the only refuge, Shoghi Effendi mentions, of a tottering civilization. And we must believe in these things. We are not building these assemblies for fun. There's no fun in that. And we are not working. We are not serving on these local assemblies for fun either, because it's a difficult job to really main, to really go into the local assemblies and to act as the way we do, we should. It's a very difficult job. Needs a lot of perseverance and labor. So you see, not until we realize the significance of these institutions. Now, I have used this example before, and I'm going to use it again. It's not a bad example, perhaps. Some of you may have heard this. And that is an example from nature of what we have been going through, what we will be going through. I'm going to use an example of nature. In nature, if you look at an egg is a perfect food for you until it is fertilized and a new life begins to grow in that egg. Once the egg is fertilized and the chicken begins to grow in that egg, the food becomes corrupt, becomes rotten. You can't eat it anymore. And the balance is gone inside. A new situation has arisen in that egg, within that egg. And what happens is this, that this little life begins to grow inside, surrounded by all this rotten material. And this rotten material becomes its food. And as the more this chicken grows inside the egg, the more rotten becomes the egg. These two are very related together. Until such time that these two can never again, the situation cannot last, the balance is gone. And then there would be an explosion, the egg breaks, and then a new life appears, is born. And what has happened to the egg and all the things in it, it's all gone. The only thing which is left behind is a broken shell. You see, this is law of life. And once the egg is fertilized, nobody can stop that process. Nobody can say, all right, now it has been fertilized and the chicken is beginning to grow, but we can stop it. You can't. Once this process starts, nobody can stop it. The same principle, it's not an example, it's a principle of life. You remember yesterday I was saying how nature teaches us a lot of things and we can learn a lot of things. One of the lessons is this thing, is this story of the egg. Now, exactly the same thing has happened with the coming of Baha'u'llah. When he came, he fertilized the egg of human society when he declared his mission. And from that moment onwards, the seed of the Baha'i community was planted. See? And from that time, from that moment onwards, the world began to deteriorate in its conditions, and they became unstable. And the corruption set in. And the destruction set in. But it is gradual. At first nobody could feel it. First nobody will feel it. At first when the chicken is just, when the egg is fertilized, you wouldn't see any difference. But gradually. But the process has begun. And as time goes on, as the faith grows, as the institutions of the faith grow, as the Baha'i community grows, along with it, the world conditions will deteriorate. And the Baha'i community, like this little chicken, is surrounded by this corrupt world. We are surrounded by it and we are immersing in it and we are swimming inside it. But there is a distinction between the two. And then, this condition cannot last very long. Baha'u'llah says, suddenly that will happen which will cause the limbs of mankind to quake. Time comes that this egg has to open up. And once it opens up, what is safe and sound, and the only thing which really is worth talking about, is the birth of the new, of the institutions of the faith. It will be born. People can see it. Now it does not mean that when this happens, that the faith can run the world for us. Oh no. When a child is born, it cannot do anything. It cannot run around, it cannot rule the town, it cannot do anything. It has to be years to grow, to nourish, to be nourished, to grow, to... Then in the future when it grows up, it can take over all the things. And it's the same thing with the faith. the institutions of the faith. When this happens, when this egg breaks up, when the world situation comes to a head, and that which Baha'u'llah says, referring to it as the limbs of mankind quaking, and Shoghi Effendi calls it the calamities. When that happens, all that will happen is that the institutions of the faith will show themselves to the world. They will emerge. It's like a mother who is pregnant. Nobody can see the child. You go outside into the world and talk to the people about the institutions of the faith, what we are building, local assemblies, they are the foundations of the future society. They think you are a little bit, well, they don't understand this. But when, not until that child is born, not until it's born, can people see, and then they realize what we are talking about. Now it is this that Baha'u'llah talks about it, when he says, then and only then will the divine standards be unfurled, after this calamity, after the suffering. He says, then and only then mankind can see. Then and only then they can see what these institutions that we are building are doing for mankind. And it is then that they'll turn to us in great numbers. Shoghi Effendi says these local assemblies must act and will act as beacons of light at the time of greatest peril. When the ship is drowning, the best thing for it is a beacon of light. And so we have to have these beacons of light now, preparing for a time that when the time comes, that these beacons will be shining. To be switched on, not switched off. So you see the significance of these institutions that we are building, and how important it is that we should build more institutions. I don't know how it is in this country, but I can tell you in some countries that I am familiar with, for instance in Ireland, again I must constantly talk about Ireland, I live there anyhow. If there are 10 Baha'is in a town, we call it luxury. 9 is enough. We have to build up institutions of the faith. And one of them is going to say, now they're going to look at each other and say, these 10, and say, which one of us is going to be? But one of them will go. We really have very few local assemblies, which is more than 9. There are 2 or 3, and they're usually the capitals, or usually some people have the excuse, and they're right, their husband is non-Baha'i, their wife is non-Baha'i. I was told by the chairman of the National Assembly there that 90% of the Baha'is of Ireland have once in their life at least pioneered, and some several times, to these local communities. 90%. Now I don't know how many people you are in here, but I think you could make quite a few assemblies. And it all need not go long distances. You can go 10 miles out of your town and form an assembly, form a community there. These institutions, the more we have them, the more beacons of light for mankind. And this is why the House of Justice wants us to increase these institutions. And we will make more institutions. So you see the significance of the local spiritual assemblies. I wonder if we should close in 5 or 10 minutes. 3:15, is it all right? Yes. Mr. Chairman? Right. Now I'm going to tell you, we are talking about local spiritual assemblies now. And I know what the local spiritual assemblies are, some of them that I'm familiar with. Again, I don't know what you people are like, what your assemblies are like. Maybe you are perfect. But some local assemblies are not perfect. And the friends feel, oh well, a local assembly is very weak. What? They become disheartened. For instance, there may be a local assembly that there are 9 people, but only 6 of them are really coming regularly. Oh, the other, and this is very disheartening. And they say, well, what's the use of this? What can we do about this? And then they tell them to make more of these. This is a problem. This is the problem. You see, you have got this weak local assembly and they tell you to make more of them. Now, I will talk about this after this session, a little bit about this. But let me give you a story of a weak local assembly, because you may have never seen a weak local assembly. I will explain to you what it is like, just to give you an example of it. And then we close. And then when we come back, I want to describe the real significance of these institutions. I'll give you a story, because I have been once, years ago, We had a local spiritual assembly in Dublin. Now this must be about 30 years ago. And in those days the faith was in its early stages, very, very early stages. We had only a few believers in town, and they were members of the assembly, and one of them, of course, was